So Saliounnal is the commander-in-chief of the Carava and allied armies. And the process of his appointment is pretty simple. On the morning of the 18th, the last day of the battle, Duryodhana, often referred to as the king, with sanctified water, holy water that he would have obtained from the Brahmins, sprinkled it over the head of the would-be appointee, which was Shalya, and there he's got the job. I've often referred to, to Shalya as Uncle Shalya. That is correct, but only to the degree that he was uncle to the twins, Nakula, Sahadeva, because he was the brother of Madri. Madri, remember, was the second wife, Kunti the first wife, of King Pandu. Pandu went to the forest, he died there under a curse, and then it was Kunti who very much wanted to take Sati, wanted to actually follow her husband into the funeral pyre, but so actually did Madri. So they talked it out, and Madri persuaded Kunti that in fact she would be the better, because she's older, more maturer, the better mother for the whole family, five boys, than she would. So it was Madri who entered the funeral pyre. And in fact, Kunti was really true to word. Interestingly enough, it was Sahadeva who was her favorite of the five boys. And when they went off into the forest after the gaming, after the dicing, she had a few words with Draupadi and said, "Please look after my Sahadeva, especially keep an eye on him, see that he's all right." Well, Shalya used to visit them occasionally when they were outside Hastinapur, before they came in under the wing of Dhritarashtra, the blind king. And he invited them on several occasions to his own kingdom. His own kingdom was right up in the northwest. There were two very similar kingdoms, sort of sister kingdoms, right next door to each other. You had the Madras and you had the Salwas, Madra and Salwa. Very similar in outlook and religions and faith. Not quite the same as the Vedic faith of the center nations, the Kurus, the Panchalas, and so on. And when they were about 15, Shalya said to them, "I'd like to make you heir apparents. I'd like to anoint you as prince regents." Nakula was a bit suspicious. He said, "Well, is it only because that we're the sons of deities, the Ashwins, that you want this? Because you've got your own boys." And said Shalya, I think, convinced them, no, it wasn't, because they were a bit concerned. Nakula Sahadeva, they didn't really want to do it because they got a lot of love and concern and friendship and oneness as a family with the other brothers. And actually, when they started speaking at one stage about being stepbrothers to Yudhishthira, to Bhima, to Arjuna, Yudhishthira got pretty cross with them. He gave him a bit of a telling off and said, "There's no question. I don't want to hear you talk about stepbrothers in the future. You're not. You're Pandavas. You're brothers." We're completely so. So anyway, that was cleared. And in fact, Nakula did agree to take over the kingdom once Shalya left, but on the condition, and Sahadeva was the same, that they would actually stay and be at one with the Pandavas as a whole. We don't hear a lot about Nakula Sahadeva. They're not the sort of frontline warriors in the Mahabharata. But Nakula, very handsome, very good-looking chap, very bright, wisdom and all this sort of stuff. His main weapon was the sword, outstanding swordsmanship. But also remember, his knowledge of horse breeding, looking after horses, was an enormous boon when it came to the last year of hiding away with the Matsya, pretending the horses. Very competent, knew all about horses. Sahadeva, he was, again, an outstanding swordsman. But his actual weapon, his chosen weapon, which he specialized in, was the axe. He had wisdom. But the interesting thing is, about Sahadeva, he was very much into astrology. And people would go to him, to have their lives plotted out, how they were going to turn out and all this sort of stuff. And in actual fact, he determined what day the battle was going to start. And he was told to keep this secret, but because of his professionalism, he was a big shot in the astrology world. He actually told them, from the professional point of view, he felt it was wrong to hide their knowledge. So Duryodhana was well aware of the actual start date of the battle because he'd been told by Sahadeva. And you may remember there was the Rajasuriya that took place when Yudhishthira took over the other half of the kingdom. Indraprastha was their city. And it was very much a show of strength, where the Rajasuriya was an imperialistic domination of the other states of India. And the deal was, in fact, that the Pandavas, that side of the family, would be the protectors of all the states, but they had to pay money over, they had to pay dues for that. To get to that situation, the other states had to agree to the armies of the imperialistic nation that they were going to join them and they were going to pay tribute. And if they weren't, they'd have to fight it out. And the four brothers were sent off in different directions. Nakula was sent west, and of course his own uncle was quite happy to join in, pay tribute, and in a very friendly way. Sahadeva actually went down south, and really I think for the reason that Bhishma said, the southern nations on the whole were good swordsmen, but so was Sahadeva, so he was went down south. Interestingly, when you talk about the Madras and the Salwas, Sahadeva actually picked up his second wife. Her name was Vijaya, and she was a Salwa. She was from the Salwa nation. And also, those who are into the Mahabharata and into Sri Aurobindo know the Savitri and Satyavan story. Savitri was a Madra girl, and Satyavan was a Salwa, the other side. So you could say that Savitri married the boy next door. Well, the next element where Shalya really comes to the fore is that when the 13 years was up, immediately Yudhishthira sent out emissaries to all the friendly nations, trying to recruit nations to fight for him for the battle that they knew were going to come about. Uncle Shalya was very happy to do this, and he actually got all his whole armies together. He lived, as I say, at the Punjab part of Pakistan, and he had to march them over, not that far really, what isn't by modern standards, to Rajasthan. And he set off fairly slow. The march was fairly slow, all his elephants, foot soldiers, and all the trappings that go with war and what have you. But Duryodhana, on the way, had actually set up a stopover, rather like a motorway service station, you could say. He put tents out, he made them very comfortable. He knew which direction Shalya was coming, and he did it not telling him Shalya that as he was doing it, and he gave them real luxury tents. They were looked after, they were fed, and in actual fact, the men were paid certain monies. And so after they'd been there a few days resting on his way to Rajasthan, Shalya said, "Thank you very much." They didn't tell him that it was Duryodhana who put this stopover for them. He thought it was actually Yudhishthira because, you know, they were very friendly. They were in the family, but it wasn't. And so he said, "Well, I will certainly give you my services." But then, having said that, he was told that it was Duryodhana who put this on, and he was committed. Particularly so, not only because of the moral point of view, but the fact actually he started paying the soldiers already in Shalya's army. Shalya was very upset about this, and he went to Duryodhana, and he said to Duryodhana, "I'm sorry, this is the situation that has occurred, and I will have to fight for Duryodhana." Yudhishthira said, because Yudhishthira could see that he was going to be offered and asked to do the charioteer's job for Karna. He said, "If this comes about, would you do me a favor and depress him? Psychological warfare, you could sort of say that he's no good, lower his morale before the fight." And this, in effect, what happened. And so when the battle came about, and Karna and Arjuna, right from the beginning, Karna was saying, Shalya was saying, "You know, you realize how good Arjuna is? Do you really think you're going to help it?" Karna got pretty mad, and all the way riding towards him was the same. And one key thing was, when in fact Karna was going to fire this snake weapon, his real killer snake weapon, Shalya said to him, "Aim at Karna's chest And so Khan thought, huh, he's up to his tricks again, and he aimed at his head. Well, it made it a lot easier for Krishna to press down on the chariot and give it those 10-15 centimeter drop, so that his deadly arrow just broke the diadem of Arjuna and didn't kill him at all. Well, now I've come to the end of my time. Shalya has taken up the fight. Sahadeva has sworn to kill Shakuni, and Yudhishthira has sworn to kill Salya, and we'll have to see how that happens next time. So, if you have been listening, thank you. Goodbye.